Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, the heavens are opened up. The Gospel of St. Mark gives us a more vivid picture of the heavens actually being ripped asunder. Heaven is open for human business because of this man, Jesus, being baptized and what he will accomplish through the ministry he is anointed to fulfill. Matthew tells us that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon Jesus. John the Baptist in John's Gospel testifies that he saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus and remain upon this man. This is so different from the stories of the Old Testament where men received the Spirit for but a little while, and eventually the Spirit would leave them. Rather, this Jesus is a different cat. And we learn that he is different when the voice of the Father in heaven speaks, "You are my Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father is pleased because his Son has chosen to take up the call to be the Savior of the human race. Jesus is not just another man who was given the Spirit of God for just a little while. We might think of the 70 elders of Israel at Sinai who prophesied for just a little while, or the Spirit that rushed upon Samson the judge from time to time. But Jesus is different. Jesus is the one upon whom the Spirit remains and abides. As we read further in the Gospels, we actually learn that the Spirit proceeds from the Father as well as Jesus himself. So what kind of a man is this that we have before us? This man is called God's Son. He is the one, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. There's no need to look any further or wait for another to come along. The promised one to come has indeed arrived, and God the Father announces it to be so. The Epiphany is here and now. The light has dawned. The bright morning star has arisen, and he is here in his flesh and his blood for you. In the Old Testament, anointings took place with oil. The first man anointed for official office to the Lord was the high priest. Aaron, the brother of Moses, was anointed and given the task of overseeing the sacrifices of Israel and to serve as a mediator between God and man, as well as to speak the Lord's blessing upon the people. You hear that each and every Lord's Day in the Aaronic benediction. He was given these role specifically by God himself, with God's own approval. It's also interesting that in some instances, the high priest was given the task also of bearing the iniquities of the people of God before God. He was also the one who confessed the sins of the people as they were being transferred from him to the goat or to the lamb on the Day of Atonement. Jesus appears to be baptized in a long line of other Israelites who have come out to see this spectacle that are taking place in the wilderness. John's preaching is captivating, and he was doing his job well, preparing all the people for the work of the promised Messiah. John recognized Jesus as who he was, the sinless Son of God. That is why John's so confused. "Why do you come to me to be baptized? It is I who need to be baptized by you." Jesus is not a sinner and does not need such a baptism of repentance. But yet, for us and for the world, he submits himself to John's preaching and puts himself under the law to be our great high priest and the once and for all sacrifice for the sin of all the world. You see, Jesus is not cleansed of anything when he is baptized. There are no sins to repent of. In actuality, the reverse is taking place. Jesus goes into the water and comes out infected with all the world's sin. That is why John later confesses Jesus to be the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Throughout Christ's entire earthly ministry, Jesus is carrying the weight of the sin of the world upon his shoulders. He is the great high priest, and so he knows what it is like to be tempted. Jesus, though the sinless Lamb of God, will receive the punishment for the sin of the world, as if he is the one who had committed all the sins of the world. To be the Christ, to be the Son of God in the flesh, means that he must suffer. He will suffer for sins that he did not commit. He goes to his cross for your sins and for mine. Though he is the one by whom the world was brought into existence, he will be ridiculed and killed in the most grotesque ways known to man. Yet on the third day, he will be raised, and all authority in heaven and on earth will be given to him. He'll be known as the King that he has been all along, the other office that God commanded prophets to anoint. And so upon his resurrection, the King will give his command, and has given his command, for his kingdom and inheritance to grow. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. You see, your baptism is the exact opposite of Jesus' baptism. Whereas he receives the sin of the world upon himself, your baptism washes you clean and gives you a new heart and a new conscience, a new home, as it were, a new house to be a part of. You are given Christ's robe of righteousness, and you are given a new Father. And so when the Father in heaven looks at you, he sees not your sin, but he looks upon you and sees Christ's righteousness. And thanks be to God, you are brought into Christ's house, into his family, into his own very body, the church. And so out of the baptism of our Lord Jesus, and then our own, the entire Christian identity flows. By baptism, the believer is joined to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how significant is that? God, who is gracious and merciful enough to come into this world, bearing our flesh and taking upon himself the sin of the world, carries it to the cross and does so that you and I might be rescued, that we might be redeemed from sin and eternal death. This time last year, my son's not here right now because he's a little under the weather, but I got to witness this on this day, the wonderful mystery of baptism. When Joe Henry was united to Christ in holy baptism. And today, we get to rejoice again. We rejoice in the confirmation of Billy and Victoria, who confess the faith of their baptism this day before us and join us here in our congregation. Baptism is not a work done by us. We are indeed a part of it. But the actor is and always has been Christ our dear Lord. You are anointed. You are washed. You are marked by the cross. You are named by and for Christ's kingdom. All of these things are passive. You are a passive agent in all of these actions. The anointing occurs to you. The naming occurs to you. You are baptized. Christ does the work. It's in his baptism and by your own baptism that you receive those things which he has accomplished for you at his cross. Dr. Luther called the baptism of our Lord the beginning of what is known as the Great Exchange. Christ is not washed clean. Instead, he's made dirty. He's infected with our sins, and he only leaves sparkling, life-giving water to you and I, that we might find rest. And you and I are baptized, our sins come off, and they go to Jesus. And Jesus wants only one thing from us, our sin, so that he can take it as far away from us as possible, as far as east is from the west. And if Christ has our sins, they are forgiven, and we are saved. Even now as we gather and begin in the name given to us at our baptism, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we confess our sins, we are remembering our baptisms as we bring the sins which we have committed since our baptism so long ago. You see, confession, some people call it a sacrament, some people call it something else, but confession is really the ongoing extension of our baptism into our daily life. The fourth part of holy baptism, we confess with Luther's small catechism, what does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Confession and receiving such absolution is the daily means by which we remember and live within our baptisms today. Consider that. That's how our baptism has ongoing significance. We were not baptized, but we are baptized. It has ongoing significance every single day of our lives. Baptism is the means by which we receive the gifts of Christ's suffering and death. It's also the means by which we know the love of Jesus that he has for us, and thus should also love one another. We've been called children of God, and so we are. But we should probably start acting like it more. This is showing honor and respect to one another. Honor and love to our parents, no matter the age of our parents or of ourselves. It's a labor of love, especially at the end of life. How can a son or daughter best honor father or mother who needs to be put into a nursing home? How best can a daughter or son love mom who's just lost her husband? What does one do to honor and remember appropriately those who have died in the faith? Surely we fail in one way or another to keep this command, to honor and to love. But we can and should know and trust that we have a Heavenly Father who is always ready to forgive for the sake of his own Son, who came into the world to bear our sins. Do not be too proud to submit to the call to repent and confess one's sins. Do not hold on to your sins, but give them to Jesus who came to take them away and who has put them away forever. He is both your great high priest as well as your true king, who wants you in his kingdom now and forevermore. He has done everything to make it so. So trust him and his word, that he has done just as he has promised. And know that the words that he hears as he comes up out of the waters are now spoken to you. Well done. You are my beloved child. You have the gifts of forgiveness given to you now. You are a child of God. You are loved because of what the Son, solely begotten Son of God came to do for you. You get to pray the prayer of God's children. You are sons and daughters with whom the Father is well pleased. Have it now. Have his love now as you participate at the Father's table in his house. And have it always at the last when he calls us all to enter the kingdom prepared for us since the foundation of the world. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you until life everlasting. Amen.